Christmas time's coming. Christmas time's coming. You ain't going back my country home.
It's cold outside. Thank God for heat. Fred, how are you? Happy Thursday, this December the 15th, 2016. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Mark and Fred's Joey Kroll with you. Trying to keep warm. Wow. You know, I was just saying to somebody just the other day, I've been living in the Midwest my entire life, and I never get used to this cold weather. I don't at all. Well, hey, good to see you. Good to spend some time with you. Hope you got your cup of coffee out. It's, Thursday, halfway through the month of December. Think about that. We only have, 2 weeks left, and it'll be 2017. Just let that sink in for you. I mean, time is running out in 2016. In fact, time is running out for you to get involved to make a special year-end gift to Great News Radios. You know, we don't air commercials. We don't receive government grants like other radio stations do in terms of receiving income. Our income is God's grace, but friends and listeners like you who financially contribute to the efforts here at Great News Radio. So consider making a special year-end gift here the next between now and December 31st. And your gift, by the way, 100% tax deductible. You can make your gift online at greatnewsradio.org. Click the donate button. You can do that safely and securely. Or you can just mail in your gift. Our mailing address is Great News Radio, Post Office Box 550, Fisher, Illinois 61843. And from all of us here, thank you for your continued prayers and gifts of support. And hey, I hope you make plans to come join us this Saturday at the Marketplace Mall in Champaign, as the Singing Men will do their annual Christmas concert right there in the food court, Marketplace Mall, 12 noon this Saturday. So as you're out doing some Christmas shopping, these men will be singing and declaring their praises to Jesus, the real reason of the season. Amen. Marketplace Mall, by the way, located 2000 North Neal Street in Champaign. Again, this Saturday, 12 noon. Hope you can be there. And if you're looking for a last-minute gift idea, consider giving some CDs from the Singing Men of GNN. Their brand-new CD, Holy, 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 came out earlier this month, and they remastered their other CDs, Godly Men, and Singing and Declaring the Wonders of God. You can pick them up at the Great News Radio Center. They're at Lincoln Square in Urbana, or you can just hop on our website. Visit greatnewsradio.org, and there's a link for you to click on there on the homepage for you to order CDs online there. Or you can just call 217-367-7777. Consider it as a great Christmas and holiday gift-giving idea.
While shepherds kept there watching over silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heaven, oh, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, humble Christ was born. God sent us salvation that blessed Christmas morn. Oh, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Tell it on the mountain, over the hills
Thank you so much for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends. I got my cup of coffee, trying to stay warm. I hope you're having yourself a great week. It's Joey with you. And an elderly lady was known for sharing her faith and her boldness in talking about Jesus. And she would stand on her front porch and just out of nowhere just shout, "Praise the Lord!" from her porch. And her next door neighbor, who happened to be an atheist, used to always yell back, "There ain't no Lord." And hard times had set on the elderly lady. And she prayed for God to send her some assistance. And she stood on her front porch saying, "Lord, I need some food. I'm having a hard time. Lord, please send me some groceries." And so the next morning, the lady went out on her front porch and noted a large bag of groceries on her front porch. And she said, "Praise the Lord." And the neighbor jumped out behind the bush and said, "Aha, I told you there was no Lord. I bought these groceries myself." And she started jumping up and down, clapping, saying, "Praise the Lord. He not only sent me groceries, but he made the devil pay for them." Oh, I love that. I just love that. Hardship. Hardship. We go through it all the time, don't we? Don't we? Sometimes there are seasons where it's longer than others. Wouldn't you agree? Hardship. And today we're going to talk about persevering or enduring hardship. So if you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And today we're going to be talking about, again, enduring hardship. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and will turn away their ears from the truth, and will turn aside to myths. But you," watch this, but you, "be sober in all things, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." You know, I was reading this passage when I was going through a season of discouragement, a season of frustration, and a season of just hoop after hoop that you would have to jump through. You know, one of those seasons. And, you know, sometimes when I read this passage in 2 Timothy 4, I associate, hey, we got to preach the word in season and out of season, and that's it. But there's more to that, to this passage, that the Lord wants us to get. Verse 5, "Be sober in all things, endure hardship." Now, this passage here in its context is referring to enduring hardship for the gospel, okay? But God's word does tell us to endure hardship and to persevere time and time again, whether it's through physical ailments, emotional pain, relational conflicts, financial pressures, and whatever it is, we all feel and face personal hardships. Everyone listening today has faced or is facing some degree of hardship. And the temptation is to either walk away, live with it, or do with everything in your power to change it. You know, people often walk away from marriage due to relational conflict. People sometimes take their own lives because of the hardship of whatever it is that they're going through. The emotional pain is too much. We are, according to God's word, we're called to persevere. We're called to endure hardship. Joseph was sold into slavery by his brothers. Jeremiah was thrown into a well. Jesus was betrayed by his disciples. Peter and John were beaten for preaching the gospel. Paul was beaten and thrown into prison. Maybe you're listening today and you're experiencing hardship of betrayal because your spouse walked out the door. Maybe you experienced hardship of sorrow this year when you had to stand by the grave of a loved one that had passed away. Maybe the hardship of an unexpected illness or hardship of debt or unable to find a job. God's word says we are to endure hardship. Endure it. Endure hardship. Persevere through it. And we're going to talk about how to do that today. You know, one of the most hardest days for a pastor, I'll be honest with you, is Monday morning. God, are they getting it? God, am I really making a difference? If so, then why wasn't every seat filled? Why was the offering so low? Why is there little or no response? Hardship. I remember a church that I had served at one time, unfortunately went through a church split. And I don't know if you've ever been part of that type of an experience, but I'll tell you what, there is nothing that grieves the heart of God like when his own children can't even get along. And the church that we had served at, we had a pastor who wanted to be the senior pastor, so he wanted to overthrow the current senior pastor and had to accumulated himself some people to help do so, and that was unsuccessful. And in our church, we had about 10, 15 families leave. And I was one of the other pastors on staff, and that was a very hard time for our family. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Very hard time for our family. We had people say stuff about everyone who was on staff at the church, about the senior pastor, myself, my family, and anyone else who attended that church. And it was a very difficult time. It was a time, to be honest with you, where I just wanted to throw in the towel and say, you know what, forget this. I can make more money doing something else, is what I told myself. And I remember there were times where I just cried and wept and wept and wept. And I knew I could not leave that post because God did not relieve me from that. I had to endure hardship. I had to persevere during that season. And I'm so glad because the church has grown in so many different ways, not just in numbers, but in leadership. The pastors and the deacons and the leaders of the church now know how to handle difficulty, now know how to handle and address issues in the church because they have persevered. See, we don't like the idea of enduring hardship because we despise suffering, we loathe pain, we are indifferent to hardship, we detest trouble, we spurn at uneasiness, and we want to park as close as we can to the grocery store, right? We want to sit in our recliner with the remote control in hand, watching the football players do all the exercise and running. We always choose the shortest line in the grocery store. We choose the path of least resistance. I mean, our exercise for the day is when we get up from the couch and walk to the kitchen to get some potato chips. I mean, that's, and you want me to endure and embrace hardship? We like our comfort, don't we? But friend, as the redeemed people of God, we're not called to be comfortable. James chapter 1, verse 2, let me read this here for you. It says, consider it pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Did you get that? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If we don't learn to endure, we're not going to learn much of anything. You're not going to learn to play the piano if you don't learn to endure and do the scales. You're not going to learn Greek if you don't endure and do the Greek verbs. You're not going to lose weight unless you learn to endure. You're not going to build character unless you endure. That's where the roots grow. That's where the molding takes place. That's where the refining takes place. Enduring. Remember the days when something broke, it was fixed? Remember those days? We live today in a throwaway society. When something breaks, we just go and buy a new one. My wife, she just loves when things break because, oh, goody, we get a brand new refrigerator. No, let's fix this one first. You know, and that works okay when it comes to refrigerators and toasters, but that doesn't work too well in marriage, does it? When we argue, fight, bicker, and get into conflict, the temptation is today for many people is to just get a divorce and start over with someone else. And we forget that God is bigger than our problems and he can solve any situation, no matter how big or how small they are. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 45, talking about enduring hardship today. Mark chapter 6, verse 45. Immediately he, that's Jesus, made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. Verse 46. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on a mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought he was a ghost and cried out, for they saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And when he got in the boat, the wind ceased. So there was Jesus. He told his disciples to get into the boat. They were rowing their boat and they were fighting against the wind and the waves. They were, see, the last place you want to be when a storm is brewing is on the ocean, is on the water, is on the sea. And they were having a hard time. They were rowing, rowing, rowing. I think one translation, they were straining at the oars. They were having a hard time. They were struggling. A storm was about to brew. But let me ask you a question. Who sent them out on the water? Jesus, right? Mark 6, 45 says, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him. And while they were straining at the oars, watch this now. In Mark chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus is alone on the land. He went up to a mountain to pray. And while he was praying, verse 48, and it says, and he saw that they were making headway painfully. And he saw that they were making headway painfully. And he saw. And he saw that they were making headway painfully. He saw. See, even though while we are in the middle of whatever we're going through, we need to remember that the same God who has his eye on the sparrow is the same God who has his eye on his child. He allowed the wind and the waves to take place so that his disciples can see his power in a whole new way. Endure hardship. One Sunday morning at a small southern church, a pastor called on one of his older deacons to lead in the opening prayer, and the deacon stood up, bowed his head, and said, "Lord, I hate buttermilk." At this time, the pastor opened one eye and wondered where he was going. And the deacon continued, "Lord, I hate lard." And the pastor was totally perplexed, didn't know if he needed to interrupt the prayer or what. And the deacon continued, said, "Lord, I ain't too crazy about plain flour. But after you mix them all together and bake them in a hot oven, I just love biscuits." He went on to say, "Lord, help us realize that when life gets hard, when things don't come up that we don't like, whatever, we don't understand what you are doing, that we need to wait and see what you are making. After you get through mixing and baking, it will probably be something even better than biscuits." In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Friend, we are to persevere. We are to endure hardship.
Unto us a son is given, unto us a child is born. He will reign forever, Lord of heaven and earth. Unto us a the living God comes in power and glory. We celebrate his birth. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the mighty King, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In His name we sing.
Come to us, my Son.
A great song, Unto Us, here on today's edition of Mark and Friends, here on this Thursday, December 15th, 2016. Joey Kroll trying to stay warm with you today, and just want to quickly remind you, don't forget, the Singing Men will be at Marketplace Mall 12 noon this Saturday. They're at the food court singing and declaring the wonders of our great God with some great Christ-centered Christmas music. So consider showing up, doing your Christmas shopping, and being blessed as well. Marketplace Mall again this Saturday at 12 noon. Well, Mark and Jason will bless your morning tomorrow for the Friday edition of Mark and Friends at 7:32 a.m. and p.m. as well, Central Time. Until next time, though, just remember as you go out and about, do your Christmas shopping and normal routine things, just remember that you are salt and you are light, and you are the hands and feet of Jesus.